Just a few words on the title of this seminar. I think the title could be The Work of Man. What we'll do, we'll try to investigate the history of Western thought and more generally Western culture, and perhaps the very wager of Western civilization in the light of the concept of work. We try to investigate the significance and the cruciality of this term for a culture. And so we have to go back archaeologically to the Greek term for work, ergon, to the Latin term for work, opus, etc. The question is, our hypothesis is that the concept of work, though central in our culture, remained, so to speak, untold. It's a kind of zone of opacity. So we'll ask, do we know what the work is? And does man have a proper work? Is there such a thing as a work of man? I mean, as a something which will define very being of man. Is there something as a work of man, a proper work of man? So we see we will locate the question of work at the crossing of both being and acting, action. So we try to situate this concept at the crossing of ontology and praxis and politics. Just to an example, or how little we know about this concept. So what we are doing here is a seminar. So what is a seminar? Where is a seminar? Is a seminar the kind of work? Are we doing the work? Are we making the work? So we've tried that now to make with you some reflections on the seminar as a form. Do you see I have here notes? I prepared the seminar. Is the seminar in these notes? And you know that perhaps that Michel Foucault courses in the Collège de France and also Heidegger seminars are in progress of being published entirely. We have many books and volumes containing the seminars by Michel Foucault, etc. Are Michel Foucault's seminars in those books? What do you think? Where are Michel Foucault's seminars?
I think they were in a certain place at a certain time. I don't know if they exist anymore except as an archive.
So, for instance, we had recordings. In the case of Michel Foucault, the edition, the publication is made often, sometimes from the notes he had, but often from the recording. Courses. So we are also here, but are these recordings the record?
So it only exists in the threshold. They come into being when they meet awareness. So there is no, we can call them a work of art before they reach awareness.
Yeah, just to show how difficult, how complex is the question, where is the seminar, and also where is the work in this case, if we consider the seminar as a work, as a form.
But does the seminar continue to give, like you're talking about the threshold? Does it, is it when I engage with the
the recording or the transcript, am I, is the seminar happening then, or is it already happening? Yeah,
right.
Yeah. So, right. There are people who edited these courses, so they worked it, and sometimes they have to correct, to decide if it worked or not. So there are some very authors, there are many books of the seminar. But then you have sometimes they even publish, but not often, because sometimes they do not, the questions of the students. So of course, not in some way, the seminar was only at the very moment of its taking place, these days, in this place, in this place at Collège de France in 1989, etc. This means that in some way the seminar is more similar to an artistic performance than to a work or a book.
It's interesting that the first thing you did is turn off the recording device or set up a video. I mean, then to keep it here, I suppose.
So often from a seminar it can result a book or something of this kind, but this is a kind of trace, or like Yves Klein would have said, you know, that Yves Klein used to say that what was considered as his artwork of art were just the ashes of his creation.
But isn't what's left behind also part of the seminars? Because if it's on evidence when it happened, where it happened, but whatever remains is also part of the seminars, and then it becomes multiple. It's in the note, you know, part of the seminars is in the notes of all the students, in their memories, in what they integrated in their own work. And then the seminar itself becomes multiple. And
it didn't mean that the book eventually didn't have to do with the seminars. So it's a kind of strange ontology that we consider, is a being which extends itself from a kind of original center, perhaps you could say the very day of its happening, but also then before the preparation, these notes also are pertinent to the seminar, a part of the seminar, and then after, so the before and after of the work is part of the work. In this case, it's evident, but present in any case. Is this clear? So, how complex is just to answer the question, where is a seminar? Not only what is a seminar, but just where is.
So I think the question is, to what degree documentation and archivalization actually damage, say, a seminar? To what degree a seminar is precisely an act of dissemination, a kind of prolepsis? That is a very interesting, problematic.
Now, if we deepen the question that you do now, it will really become almost impossible in general to answer to this kind of questions. In some way, even one of the most famous of the works of the history of Western philosophy, Metaphysics by Aristotle, these are just the lessons, courses of Aristotle. We do not know if they are just the notes or the substudents or whatever.
So perhaps in that context, seminar is the genesis of eudaimonia.
Is it?
Genesis of eudaimonia. Happiness.
Mm-hmm. It's a demonic element, you mean. Other consideration, no, concerning our problem of the work and the seminar. once Aristotle makes a short classification of the human action, human doing, human making. And he distinguishes two kinds of human activity. The first one, which he calls poiesis. And he defines poiesis from poiein, making doing, the same word as poetry. This is something in which the tail, the end, is external. So it is an activity which will result in the production of an external work. Like the carpenter makes a table or the poet makes a poem. This is called poiesis. To this he opposes praxis. Well, he can say the end is not external, there's not an external work. In the praxis, the end is internal. Acting well, like he is sticking to politics, ethics, is in itself the end. So praxis and policies. This is very clear. So we need it, but it's not exhaustive. Recently, the kind of activity we were thinking before, our seminar, is not easy to, it's impossible to classify into these two forms, because in a way there is an external and a telos, perhaps the indication of a book, etc. But, of course, it's not like that, because it's in its very head, it's end. And it's not praxis, because there is something also external. So for instance, you could add a third concept to the two kinds of activity defined by Aristotle. You could say that what we call performance is a kind of mixture of the praxis and the poiesis. Because in some way in a performance the end is the act itself, like in the praxis, but also there is something as a result, as a work. And this is, by the way, this is the main uppering, the main difficulty, the main contradiction in what in contemporary art. You cannot classify contemporary art neither in the, as a poiesis, because there is no real work. Sometimes it's just a documentation, a photo of the person resulting. It's not praxis, because it's not like politics or ethics, which in itself has its uniqueness. So it's a kind of a hybridization,
hybridization
of poison practice. Aristotle would say, what's that? This is not human, this is something that's less neither poisons nor praxis. And also there is another similar thing. Aristotle mentions poisons, which is the activity of something, an artist, and praxis is the action of a free man, political free man, citizen of Athens. He doesn't mention what we call work in a strict sense, working class workers, industrial class. He doesn't mention this. And usually historians say, of course, he does not mention this because, as you know, in Greece and Rome, the production was made by slaves, so it was not taken into account in some way.
But you mentioned with voices, and I hadn't heard someone make this reference before, but like a carpenter to the table. I mean, you were putting it to a trade.
Yeah, a carpenter produces a table, but I mean, there are many kinds of work where you not easily identify a production.
Yeah.
And Yes.
Would you say that a performance can be distinguished by an awareness of the medium?
I did.
The medium. So being aware of how the medium that you're using to transmit what you're saying, in bringing that into the conversation, that you're making it a performance. So whether it's the space that you're in or the instrument that you're using, you know, if Aristotle would say, what was this? Maybe it's because he assumed conversation, or he assumed, you know, if we assume written language, if we assume...
The conversation.
Yeah, that there's this one way to transmit this idea, but if there's a variety of translations, so to say, then it would inevitably be a new way of experiencing it. And then if you understand that other people do not know that medium, and then you have to sort of explain it or bring them into it, then it becomes performative, because it's not just about what you do. It's not the end, it's also how you can share that with people.
The primacy of the medium, the importance in this case of the medium, is in some way corresponds to this possibility of deciding between an external work and an action work, which has in itself its own name. So there is a primacy of medium, but medium is not easy to classify in this perspective. And for historians also, the historians of law, notice that we are accustomed in modern world to consider work as the center of production. So for instance, the workers are paid according to how many hours of work they did. We never find this in the Roman or Greek law. We have many contracts, of course. There is no contract that takes into account the work in itself, the process of working. Always all the contracts we have are defined by the object. So if I make a contract with some workers to get something at table, this is the object. So the work, how many hours, how they did it, etc. It's not taken into account. The first time, so just to say that in a classic perspective, the telos, the end, or the result, exhausted the work. The work in itself, the process of making, was not important. But the first time we had something as a modern concept of work in the strict sense, and not in the sense of Arsène or Lavoisier, in the strict sense of work. The first time in which this appears is in Roman law, in a contract who has for object the location of the opus work of the state. For the first time, we see there a contract in which not the result, what the slave will do, okay, is important, but something similar to our conception of work. So that he located his working. So this is the owner of the slave would rent is the work of the slave to another, and in this case it did not rent the result, of course, because just the working activity itself. So this is the first time in the history of law where we see a concept similar to our concept of work appear. And this is also interesting in our perspective, because so this activity of working, rented, for the slave, rented, was not an object, the result was not a policy, so no policy was there in question in this contract. We cannot say that this was a praxis, because for a Greek, praxis implied the free activity of the man and the city, etc. So we see appearing something again. Uncertain and difficult to classify from an Aristotelian point of view, but which are familiar to that, because today the work is like that, it's just the activity to Word force, you see this name?
Force is a word. Yeah, yeah.
But word force, it's just in itself the thing. Not the result, not the subject. We are familiar with the fact that something that word force exists in itself. And you can mention time, how long, etc. How much will we pay?
I just wanted to know whether you would consider, what would you consider to be the main point here? So if you mean that what is new about this kind of working is that time is taken into consideration. So we start capitalizing time, not only the thing. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. But this is a kind of consequence of time
is
taken into account. Because no more the end, but the activity itself is important. Then we have to mention this activity and both in terms of time. There are different ways to mention it.
So are there, at these times, like developments in the technical process of the clock and stuff? Because we know that we need a mechanical clock to do industrial work. So one of the conditions of productivity for the workforce is mechanical time. There is something
important. Once we have not our mechanical clock, but they have a way of measuring your
measuring. Yeah, measure time, but perhaps there would be like a development in measuring time. So first you measure time by like sun, and then you measure time by water, fog, and then you measure time by but not.
But what interests me, not only this question very interesting of time, but also the question that what we see here is for the first time appearing in itself the process of making, the activity in itself, the work in this modern sense, who was completely extraneous for a big man, because they just the work as a thing, as a result, not the process of the work.
Because the process of work is really a combination of the subject of work and the object of work. Actually, right now, with all the technology, nanotechnology, digital technology, we become a product of our work again. And then it's like we become a work of the work, and we change in when your relations that's immense.
I don't know. This is what I find most interesting.
Sort of hybridization between
subject of
work and object of work.
I think in modernity, if we take a certain point of view, which is very simple and clear, policies and practices, external and internal. If we consider from this point of view, what we consider as a production, a work, creation, is completely impossible to be. And we, when I say we see the work, the activity of work itself appear in this contract for the production, the office, the work of the slave, but also modern art is based on something on the primacy of the creative process on the work. All modern art begins with this. My God begins with the gesture of the artist who will establish the primacy of the process, the creative process on the work. And then this goes on, and after, like you say, we will have even a confusion in this perspective. If everything is in the process, and more in the essential is not in the work, the result, but in the process, then also the status of the author or the creator becomes stranger, because the process doesn't belong to him. So will this result in a intensification of the category of the author and the artist, or on the contrary, in a diminution, because the process itself would be in some way even expropriated from this author. Just to say that the categories with which we think this kind of problems in modernity are confused or need a supplement of to attempt to define that better. Because it's not easy to while the Aristotelian classification is simple and clear, but no more useful for what we have today. So the seminar is a very complex thing. But one thing I will again stress, it's clear if it is like that it is something collective. It's a collective work. So your active participation is essential. We do not know in which way, because we do not still know how to understand this, but it's clear that your participation is essential. So it's not a thing I am doing here. Perhaps none of us is doing here, but sure, it's not me alone. Or is that clear?
I just have another question for Dr. Pesci, I suppose, that before, but in what respect are we considering work here? Are we considering work as a work? Like, then it would be easy to just redefine several words for several activities, and then the problem will be solved. Or are we considering work as an ontological problem, or an epistemological problem, or what is the approach here?
First, the medieval philosopher, the logician, used to distinguish when you speak de dicto, what is said in the language, or de re on the thing. We always speak about both. So, a dictum which refers to the rest, so the word which will refer to something here. So, ontology would be perhaps be the better term. But anyway, what we are trying to do here is to problematize this notion of work. And what we want to show that it is a philosophical category, probably an essential metaphysical ontological category, but it does not, in the history of philosophy, this status. You will not find sometimes you have to add reflection on the work of art, like the Heidegger essay but we don't, and there we have an ontological approach. But we, perhaps in this philosophy, there is not a real time to really think this concept.
Do you include the term vocation in this dialogue, or no? The difference between work and vocation, or no?
In some ways, it's perfect because, of course, something kept coming, I said, the before and the after. So, vocation, you said,
yes.
Comes before, something which refers to work in a way is the beginning, first the appearance of something. So, in some way, we could.
I think I got this distinction from Zizek, whereas one type of work being like the material work, right, where you're using things up from the world, or using natural resources, so things become less, versus the other type of work is the sort of intellectual property type of work, where you're adding to the world, you're writing a book and you're giving more to the world. But of course that second type is completely arbitrary in terms of the work process. There's nothing to qualify it against, right? There's no way to say, okay, this many hours equals this, because there's no material involved. So that was...
Yeah, in some ways true, but also what you said, the intellectual work, also there we will have categories and problems
Well, now,
similar to that.
Yeah. So now this is becoming privatized also. And
pardon?
Now this is becoming privatized also, this sort of intellectual property, right? And
then when intellectual property is a very interesting problem, but it has to do really with the protection of the right of the voters. Just it's just a way of checking and control and making obstacle to the circulation of work. And you know that when the property rights appear for the first time, they are not intended to protect the author, they are intended to make possible to punish the author for the publication. So in the beginning, the property rights appear as the problem when the work is published, which is a crime, an implies crime for the power. Then we have to know the author and to the possibility to ascribe the work to a certain author. This is the first appearance of the copyrights in the history. So we can now go on. So, if I had to please now sign a subtitle to our course, I thought we could put two subtitles to our title of the work. The first one is Introduction to Metaphysics. And the second is Towards an Ontology.